Hey, Rock Life Podcast, today we are going to be covering the gospel. That's right. It sounds so simple, but we are rewinding from the message, the gospel is. We are going to go through the amazing message Pastor Dan ministered this past weekend. And man, there are some nuggets in there that I'd really love to delve into. So stay tuned all the way through. We're going to have a good time. My name is Antonio. This is the Rock Life Podcast. We are glad you're here. I'm here with Pastor Dan. What's up, Pastor Dan?
Hey, all of our listeners and viewers. Good to be back with you guys, as always, and excited to talk about the gospel.
Oh, yeah. It was amazing. And, going over it again and then looking at my notes, it's like, wait, the simple gospel. And one of my personal takeaways is the simplicity of the gospel. Speaking of simplicity, I got a haircut today.
Did you?
And I'm not going to lie. I don't know how much more I feel about as good looking as I ever do on the days I get a haircut. Wow, that guy's a good looking guy.
Without sounding conceited.
Yeah, without, right? I just feel good about my, it's like. When I get a haircut, I feel. How about you? What's your regular haircut?
So I go to a place downtown Redlands. Some of our members go to as well.
Yeah,
we got a guy.
Yeah,
everybody has their guy.
Yeah.
The neat thing is that they've got three chairs, three people that cut hair, and my wife tells me when I come home, get that guy,
because
if you get one of the other ones, it's first come first serve.
Yeah.
And if I'm in a hurry, I'll take anyone.
Yeah.
And I know I'll get a quality haircut, but I don't want to get that guy. My wife's happy. So, and he's gifted in gab too.
Mm-hmm.
And so that always keeps it going. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I think I'm always frustrated with my hair. I'm about ready to shave, that kind of stuff. Yeah. Even though everybody's like, keep it, Pastor. It looks great.
It looks good. I like it.
Thank you.
I'm almost done. This is 3 months. No, I was kidding.
One of our ushers said, Pastor, this is 7 years and this is all I could do. I was like, wow, you're making me feel good about myself.
Yeah,
right,
not
now.
Everyone can do it. Just like, Pastor, this is almost a month.
Wow. And are you shaving the sides though?
I do shave
this
the sides.
This is my first time like just leaving the sides and
oh, right.
I mean, you probably can't even see it on the video.
Right.
But Yeah, it's not something that I could do well. My dad, he was the same way until he got old. And then he turned into Father Christmas.
Well, he has a burly one.
Yeah.
Long one.
He bought a little cabin up in the mountains for a season of life. They had that for a little while.
Yeah.
And I think he turned into a mountain man during that time. Like something about the air up there just grows facial hair.
Yeah. Maybe I'll go spend some time in
You might want to. Yeah. Maybe get a cabin and just spend some time up in Big Bear or Lake Arrowhead somewhere up there.
Yeah. No, it's good. I got a guy. Actually, he's a brother in Christ. Actually, a member of our church. Shout out, people.
Hey.
I don't know if he listens to the podcast, but if you do, shout out. He's always booked, though. Speaking of exclusivity,
the good ones are.
You feel good. Like, man, my guy. Yeah. I don't know if
he'll
be able to get in. I don't know.
You remember those COVID days?
Yeah.
That was always fun.
Yeah, speakeasies you had to go to get a haircut.
Don't tell the health department, but we set up a little one here at the church.
Yeah, man.
So that was when I was introduced to the guy.
Yeah, the guy.
We won't say his name just to protect his identity in case they go retroactive,
That's right. No.
Your secret's safe with us if you watch the podcast. So,
yeah. That's cool.
Good stuff. But
you know who has a guy for everything? Pastor Brian.
He does.
He has a guy.
He's got a guy. In fact, I just reached out to him because my son's truck, my son doesn't watch podcasts, so I can say this. His birthday's coming up pretty soon, so we needed a guy for his truck, and so we reached out to him, and we're
nice.
Hey, what do you got? And he's like, oh, I got a guy. It's
contact. He has a tire guy. He has a suit guy. He has a pool guy. He has an electric, you name it. He has a guy.
Yeah, yeah. Now, a suit guy, though, is more like a store in Ontario Mills.
That's true. Yeah.
So, I don't know that
well, maybe, yeah. No, I'm trying
qualifies
to,
as a guy.
That is true, because it could be.
Because, I literally know a guy for suits.
Okay.
Los Angeles.
A tailor.
Suit broker, if you will.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that has a tailor.
That's a level.
It's L.A. suits. Yeah. If you want a suit, you can go to L.A. to this guy's place.
Yeah.
His dad was in the business before him.
Is it one of those, you got to go through the back door, down the alley type?
No, it's a storefront,
that sort of
a thing. So, and they always took care of us.
Nice.
Pastor Jim took me there, and me and Pastor Luke got the same suit on the same day.
Yeah.
And so I still have the suit. I still wear it.
Yeah, nice.
Some 20 years later or something like that. So
I'm trying to think. My dad bought me, it might have been when I graduated college, he bought me a suit.
Funny thing, talking about having a guy.
Yeah.
We went to that suit place.
Yeah.
And the associate, I'll call him, that was helping at the place of the guy was talking to me and found out I was a pastor, and he asked me, "Pastor, do you have a guy for your church fans?"
Oh, wow.
And I didn't know church fans were a thing.
I mean, you need a guy for that.
I guess you need a guy for church fans, you know? Yeah. And I mean, we've got some pretty powerful chiller systems that cool the rocks. Yeah. So I think our church fans are really the old bulletins that people are grabbing or whatever they can get out of their Bible, you know?
But another thing, I remember people having like
custom church fans.
Yeah, that's
true. That had their logo or, you know.
And they whip them out and
contact information.
That's right.
Church service times.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Churchfans.com. I don't know.
And get your guy.
Get a guy.
Anyways,
get
you
a
didn't come to
guy.
Hear about our guys. We came to talk about the guy. Come on. That's
Jesus.
The guy. The guy of guys.
Yes.
Lord of lords. Like that, you know, that little.
And his message is the gospel.
That's right. And his message is the gospel. Well, Pastor Dan, let's delve into this because obviously, you know, we can take the title of the message and the gospel is, but you were able to put this into not just 3 points, but really break down its simplicity, if that makes sense.
Right.
And how we take this gospel that Jesus left us. And I feel I walked away feeling like, okay, I have this grasp that it is for everybody.
Yeah,
it is
yeah.
simple. And it does have a purpose. And now we're supposed to go and share this. What was the, you know, as you came upon this verse, again, going line upon line, if you're new, we're going line upon line, precept upon precept. We're in a series in the book of Romans. So coming into this week, what was the thought? What was the, oh man, I got this, or what was?
Well, you know, you can't help but preach good when you've got Romans 1:16 as your text.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I think that's one of the things that any preacher would look at that verse and go, let me at it.
Yeah.
You know, just because when you look at, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation for everyone.
Well, I was going to read it, but
I've got it memorized, so I'll just say it. I mean, that's one of those verses that, you know, you should memorize, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of those verses that you should have in your clip.
Yeah, that's good.
Just ready to go, because it's so foundational, in my opinion, to every believer's walk. We need to understand that where the power is the gospel.
Yep.
It's the gospel of the kingdom. It's the gospel of Jesus. You know, and with the kingdom comes all that the kingdom contains, right?
Yeah.
The dominion, the authority, the resource, all that's in the kingdom.
Yeah.
So if it's the good news of the kingdom, it has everything that the kingdom has. And if it's the good news of Jesus, Jesus is the king of that kingdom. And so it comes with his authority, his name, his stamp. That's why it's the power. And you know, we went over to 1 Corinthians 1, which talks about the simplicity that God chose to save people just by the simplicity of preaching the gospel.
Yeah.
You know, a simple message that Christ died for our sins.
Yeah.
You don't have to know much more than that to tell someone about Jesus and to bring them to the point of salvation. Like, people know their mess ups. People know that they're insufficient. People know that they can't make it. They know that they're struggling. Well, hey, Jesus died for your sin.
Yeah.
And if you'll trust in him, he can save you. I mean, right there can change someone's entire life, an entire trajectory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they can change their destiny, really.
Yeah.
Think about it, if they were destined for hell.
Yeah.
That simple message is so powerful that it can translate them out of the kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of God's dear son, Jesus, right? So that's the explosive you know, dynamic that comes with this verse is that this gospel message is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe, the Jew first and then the Gentile, which we discussed at length in the message. But, you know, the big takeaway, I always love it when I can take a whole message and sum it up in a sentence.
Yeah.
And so that's why I loved having that sentence at the end of the message, talking about that the gospel is the power of God for everyone.
Right.
So we can't hold it back, you know?
Right. And so it was a summary, but also a charge at the same
time.
Yes. Which I love that.
And you don't get that with every message,
right,
you know?
Right.
But yeah, I mean, I endeavor to do that a lot.
Right.
But really, that verse gives us those points, but at the same time prompts us and says, hey, you can't sit on this.
Right.
You can't hold it back.
Well, I have this thought because, you know, we're talking about the gospel and its simplicity. I was at the gym this week and I was listening to a podcast. And on this podcast, this young man was sharing a testimony. And in this testimony is actually he was talking about how he was feeling so anxious and depressed and he was thinking about ending his life.
Mm.
And it was, and I don't know what we're allowed to say or not say YouTube wise, but what the point is, and he said, as these thoughts were going through his mind, and he was, so the story goes, he was going to be ending his life. And so he was like, but I'm going to go eat real fast. I'm going to go to this restaurant. And I guess it was kind of like his last thing about his last meal. It was him by himself. It was packed out. So he goes, I don't want to, man, it's going to take forever if I try to get a single thing. He goes to this guy, say, hey, another person that was waiting, I'll buy your lunch. Just come and sit with me while, so we can eat real fast. I'll pay for it. Just be the guy that sits across so we can get seated and eat. And he proceeds, the guy says yes, he proceeds to have this conversation, and the guy's just dumping on him about his life and how difficult it is. But as he was hearing this guy, actually he said he was kind of half in, half out, because he knew what was going to happen next.
Yeah.
And he just said things start to come back in his mind from how he was raised about Jesus. And it wasn't, you know, the in-depth messages. I love great sermons, and I listen to podcasts of great teaching. I love sitting under great teaching and messages, profound thoughts. But the simplicity of the gospel in those moments of just, God loves me. The life that you are living, it doesn't have to be your life. That there is good news, right? Because sometimes with the more thought-provoking, you kind of have to break down what is good. Like,
yeah.
But the simplicity of God is good.
Yeah.
And the gospel that he is for us, and that he paid the price for us. He said it just changes. And he said, I forget how everything transpired, but basically he walked out of that place free of depression and anxiety because of a quick prayer, because of recollections. And actually, I'm in the gym starting to cry because he was saying, I just started hearing these different things, these different scriptures, these different moments that had come in. It was just people over the years that had just told him the good news, hearing the good news, whether it be at church. And it makes me think about the summary, but also the charge.
Right.
If we never know when we just tell somebody a simple, God loves you, Jesus is for you, simple good news, how that might play in someone's mind.
Yeah, yeah. I love how Andrew Kabbalah, when he's coming to minister in our pulpits, he's a healing evangelist from Australia, for those of you that don't know him, he's always said everything can change in a moment.
Right.
And he's often talked about the power of prayer,
right,
you know, and just how a simple prayer can change everything, you know. And I love that fact, because you can come into a place sick, and with one simple prayer, you can leave healed,
right?
And the same thing comes to the lost. Someone can be headed for hell, and in a moment, everything changes. And the power of that, and that's where the charge comes in, is that there are, you know, when I look at the scriptures, when I look at the statements of Jesus, I look at even the end times and that sort of a thing, you know, even looking at the types of hearts that are out there from the parables, the four soils, I mean, you think about it, 3/4 of those soils are unfruitful. And when you think that wide is the path that leads to destruction, but narrow is the way that leads to life, and there are few who find it.
Yeah.
You know, many are called, few are chosen. There's all these scriptures that give the impression almost that hell is going to be more populated than heaven.
Right.
That's a scary thought.
Right.
And I think that's where, you know, we try and overcomplicate things, and the world tries to overcomplicate things too.
Absolutely.
But I mean, even in the church, I've heard people teach on, you know, something as simple as the Christmas star,
right,
and start talking about planets aligning and, you know, the times and all that kind of stuff. And those are great thoughts. Mm-hmm. Those are deep things to think about and to look into, you know, some of the things. But when we have a simple faith, it just says that God put a star there,
right,
for that moment.
Yeah.
No matter how it happened, whether it was a star imploding, and then the sign was in the night or whatever. But, you know, even that the star moved over to the place where Mary was, I don't know what that specifically means, but a simple faith just knows that God did something in that moment.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And when we get bogged down in details, it's easier for people to, I think, deconstruct their faith. What do I believe? And, you know, all that kind of stuff. But when you come to the simplicity, you know, I love evidence that demands a verdict. It's like thick, you know, inches thick.
Yeah.
And yet at the very end, Josh McDowell starts talking about testimonies and how if somebody testified that a stewed tomato in their shoe could make them run faster, you know, that if you started to throw a tomato in everybody's shoe and they start running faster, you would be able to determine, well, I don't know why it works, but something about it works. And more people would do it. In the same way, our testimony, if someone changed my life, his name is Jesus.
Right.
Right? That simple testimony, that simple gospel that just says, Jesus made my life better.
Right.
Jesus changed my life. I was a drug addict before. I'm off drugs. I was a pervert before. Now I'm pure.
Yeah.
I was, lost and confused before. Now I have purpose and vision.
Yeah.
And know where I'm going. You know, those simple little things that we oftentimes overlook, no one can come against the power of a testimony.
Right.
Because they can say, well, we want to disprove God. We want to disprove the Bible. It has errors. It has, differing opinions and views and this and that. And there's the higher criticism and the lower criticism and all this kind of stuff that people can get in there and deconstruct. That's great. You cannot deconstruct the fact that before Jesus, my life was one way. And after Jesus, my life was another way.
This is my truth.
if you want to go that way. It's irrefutable.
Right.
You can't talk me out of it. Mm-hmm. Before salvation, I was this way. And after salvation, now it's different. I mean, when I got saved, I tell you, I was in church my whole life. My parents raised me in church. We went to different churches all around. And I remember there came a moment, and my dad even taught me how to be saved. He taught me pray and call out to God and give him your soul.
Yeah.
I did that as a child, and nothing changed. But something happened. My brother came back from a mission trip. He shared the gospel with me. And it was Bill Bright's Four Spiritual Laws in the little tract. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Yeah. I mean, I could almost recite it, and just go through it. But I remember it, and at the end it said to pray and to give God your life. And I thought, I did that when I was younger, and I've been in church my whole life. I mean, at the time I was leading worship in my youth group.
Yep.
But I remember waking up that night miserable because my brother was different.
Mm-hmm.
Something had changed in life. Wow. Someone who had, battled depression, who had a melancholy personality, now all of a sudden is lit up and radiant.
Wow.
And I could see a difference in his life.
You see, it was that tangible.
It was that tangible. It was right. Something's different about him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I always thought I was good because my, metric was my brother, my friends, all that kind of stuff. And so I'm looking around at everybody else going, I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah.
But when I saw him different, I realized I don't have that.
Yeah.
Whatever that is. And that simple gospel message partnered with something's changed in him.
Yeah.
Prompted me, and I woke up in the middle of the night like, I gotta get saved.
Mm-hmm.
And I prayed again, even though I'd already done it.
Yeah.
I hadn't done it,
right?
And so the change in me the next morning, I often have said this from the pulpit jokingly, but I mean it's serious. Like, it seemed like the sunlight was brighter, it seemed like the birds were chirping louder, it even seemed like the smog looked better in Southern California. It really, there was a change in me.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never looked back and never been the same. And I mean, when the devil comes and tries and throw things in my mind that you're not saved and you're such a wretch and, mm-hmm. it's all lies and this and that, I go back to that moment at 15 years old.
Come on.
And, I could tell you the day that it happened. I could tell you this place I was in. I could take you to Moreno Valley and show you the house that in the middle of the night I woke
Shout
up.
Shout out Moval.
Moval. Yeah.
Pastor, so help us because, you're bringing up some great points. And so for the listener, the viewer, why is it so difficult then? The one who might say, well, that's easy for you to say, or why do we have a hard time? If it is as simple as just sharing the part of like, I was before.
Yeah.
I am now. Jesus can do the same for you. I mean, the way we've been discussing it, even on this short time here, it sounds so simple. So what's the hang up, or what's our biggest challenge, and how do we kind of push through that?
Well, I think we have to define that simple is not easy.
Oh, come on. That's good.
Yeah. And that's where sometimes the simplest things to do are the hardest things to do. Right. We have things internally that we battle with.
Mm-hmm.
Insecurity, fear,
mm-hmm.
Peer pressure, all those things that as grown-ups, we think, well, I don't deal with peer pressure.
Yeah.
Yes, we do. There's forces that come at our lives, the fear of man rather than the fear of God, those types of things. I'll give a good example. Anybody who has smoked cigarettes,
mm-hmm.
Well, isn't it easy to quit? Just don't smoke.
Right?
The simple thing to do is put the cigarette down.
Right.
But growing up in a home where both my parents at some point smoked,
mm-hmm.
and watching both of them quit, what it took for that to happen. Now, for my dad, it was mind over matter. And he was one of those guys that's like on the genius level He worked with computers and all that kind of stuff. And so for him, it was a cerebral thing. There had to be a will to do what he needed to do. And that will came when, in I think in the year 2000, they put the price way up.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm not paying that. And so what did he do?
Yeah.
He put cigarettes down for the last time and did not smoke again.
It was just I'm not going to do it.
Mind over matter. Right. It was just like, we're done here because I'm not paying that. And his stubborn mind just said, no more. I'm not going to pay that. I think in some ways, when we think about simplicity, you know, Pastor Jim told the story of counseling a man. The man came and said, I'm addicted to pornography. And Pastor Jim didn't know what to tell him, so he just, out of his mouth, was, stop it. Now, anybody that's battled pornography knows that's hard to do, right? And yet, the next time Pastor Jim saw that guy, he came back, he said, Pastor, I did it. I stopped.
Right.
It's been wonderful, you know? Yeah. And I think anybody who has been able to overcome in that way knows that there's a struggle on the inside. It may be the simplest thing, stop it, right?
Yeah.
But it's also the hardest thing because of the desires on the inside and even the habits that we form. Mm-hmm. And I think with sharing the gospel, we say it's as simple as saying, hey, Jesus died for your sin. And you can live eternally. You give your heart to him. You know, there's some simple phrases.
Yeah.
And but I think that we wrestle with, is that cliche? Is that enough? We want to muddy it up. We want to make it more difficult. Well, you know, you have to be good too, and you have to go to church too, and you have to. Rather than just let's just start with salvation, and trust that God's going to do the rest in the life after that.
Right.
You know, the other thing, like I said, the fear of man. It's hard to witness to your family members when they know where you've been.
Yeah. Yep.
They know your mistakes. They know even the mistakes you made after being a Christian, right? And so they're like, don't judge me. You just got drunk.
Yeah.
You just did this.
Yeah.
And want to throw things back at you to where you're like, you know, yeah, you're right. What right do I have to tell you about a life change if I haven't been experiencing that life change personally, you know, and we let all these things become walls to us from sharing the gospel. And yet God never said the messenger would be perfect.
Right.
You know, I'm so thankful for the life of Peter. Peter shows us a guy who messes up along the way, not just with Jesus and opening his mouth and cutting the ear of the high priest servant off, but even afterwards, the apostle Paul talks about how after the resurrection, after the day of Pentecost, after Peter's been Holy Ghost filled and has seen miracles, his shadow is touching people and they're getting healed. I mean, crazy stuff, right? And God's using him mightily, raises people from the dead. And then he goes to Antioch and he's having meals with Jews and Gentiles alike. But then when certain men came from John, from Jerusalem, all of a sudden Peter's not sitting with the Gentiles anymore,
right?
I'm so thankful that God kept those mistakes in the scriptures because it shows me that God's not done with them yet, right?
Right.
And Peter, in 1 Peter, you know, the Apostle Peter, he talks about himself, but then 2 Peter, he says, a servant and an apostle. It's almost like you can see Peter's growth along the way.
Yeah.
But he never stopped sharing the gospel. He never stopped being who he was.
Yeah.
Even though he made mistakes along the way, he continued to do what he had been called to do. And I think that's where we have to get over, like, what if they hate me? Well, they hated Jesus.
Yep.
What if they don't receive? Well, not everyone's going to receive, right? Four types of soil, right? There's going to be some that falls on good ground where it'll produce fruit. Others are going to get choked out. Others are going to spring up and be burnt. Others aren't going to make it because the devil's going to come and steal it away.
Yeah.
There's just going to be things that happen. We just have to minister in the power of the Holy Spirit and then leave the results up to God.
Right. I think, you know, I've heard it this way more, and I appreciate the thought and the introduction of, because it takes a lot of pressure off of us, but it's talking about sharing the gospel for the gospel's sake and not on, am I witnessing? Did I convert them? Shared the gospel today. Well, did they say the prayer?
Mm-hmm.
But then I've heard on the other side, but people feel that, right? Like, think about, you don't even answer certain calls if you feel like it's a sales call.
Yeah.
Or as soon as you hear any kind of angle, you shift or you turn off. Why would it be any different with someone who really doesn't know Jesus? And I'm not, and they sense, I don't really care about you as much as I got to do my penance And I got to tell my pastor I told somebody about Jesus this week. That was our assignment because we talked about go do it.
Yeah.
And here I'm coming back. Hey, pastor, I shared the gospel with five people. None of them actually cared, but versus just taking the time to share the gospel, them actually knowing that you are caring and you're not shoving it down the throat. You're not counting if, you know, you're keeping stats if they said the prayer.
Yeah.
And I just wonder how many of us that might help just, hey, you know, it was a win that I was able to say something.
Right.
Maybe I fumbled on the words. Pastor, I was, but then I forgot the words to the altar call. And so I messed up this or like, and what if you just, man, Jesus is good and he loves you. And
yeah, your life can change.
Right.
Like mine did. You know, I think that's where it takes the pressure off in a lot of ways. Like you said, you don't have to keep track. You don't have to know the perfect words.
Right.
You know, I've had a lot of members tell me the fact that we do the same altar call mm-hmm. pretty much word for word every week has actually equipped them that when they go out and they start talking to somebody about church or life change or Jesus, that they're like, Pastor, I don't know what happened, but in the middle of me talking, all of a sudden the altar call just came out. And I'm like, it's because it's in you, right?
Absolutely.
And I think that's the thing about the gospel. If the gospel's in you, it's going to come out of you naturally, right? Yeah. Whatever you put in is what's going to come out.
Right.
You can't give what you don't have.
Right.
And so if you've got the gospel on the inside of you, if you've got that life change, if you've got that kingdom on the inside of you, when somebody comes to you and says, man, my life is a mess.
Right.
What do you think I should do? Well, I think you should give your heart to Jesus.
Right.
You think that's going to help my marriage? You think that's going to help my kids? Absolutely. Let me tell you what God did for me. If he did it for me, he can do it for you. You know, those are the simple, you know, methods, I guess, is a for lack of a better term, but the ways that we share the gospel, you know, is just whatever's on the inside of you and trusting that the Holy Spirit's going to speak on your behalf in that moment.
Yeah.
You know, we have a beautiful member of our church, got through some health challenges and was recently in the hospital. And while they're in the hospital, they got two people saved. And it's like, that just shows me, like, this is somebody who it's in them.
Yeah.
And even though they need to be ministered to in the sense of being served, right?
Yeah.
They're having a health challenge and they're in the hospital.
Right.
They need care.
Right.
They need to be served. And yet they're serving others.
Well, you know what also that shows me, Pastor Dan, is, you know, the excuse of, well, my life is not doing so good right now, so who am I to tell somebody about Jesus? It's like, actually, it's more of a testimony.
Yeah.
That this person who's laid up in a bed is still talking to me about how good their God is.
For sure.
Or what God's done for them, even in this situation, even in this circumstance. So what does that say to the person we're sharing Jesus with? Like, man, I'm in a harder place than you are, and I'm struggling in this area, but yet I know where my strength comes from. I know where my hope comes from. And you can have this hope that I have.
Yeah.
But I think we convince ourselves like, oh, it leads to there's no credibility. No, it actually speaks more. That we that our faith would abound more, right? That these
Absolutely.
Things would mean that much more. And so, again, I think just the objections in some of our heads as believers, we have to get out of our own heads in terms of just speaking the truth of what we do know.
And I know that there are some people that, you know, are more in their personality, they're more loose, they're more casual.
Mm-hmm.
Other people are more structured and disciplined. And so there may be people out there that you're listening to this podcast and you're going, man, I do like want to share with five people a week, or I like give myself a goal. Like it helps motivate me to share. There's nothing wrong with that. You know, there have been some men of God that, I think it was D.L. Moody, had purposed and made a commitment to the Lord every day.
Yeah.
I'm going to share the gospel with one person.
Mm-hmm.
And so one night as he's getting ready to go to bed, he realized, I haven't shared the gospel with anybody. So he throws his overcoat on, runs outside, finds the first guy he can and starts to share the gospel with him. And the guy gets upset. What are you doing? Why are you telling me this? Like you're crazy. Word gets back to the church elders and they say, Moody's gone mad. You know, he's just doing more harm in the community than good, and he's a fanatic and this and that. Well, through the process of time, that same guy shows up to Moody's church later on and says, you know, when you found me, I was angry and I was wrong. I'm going through a really hard time and I didn't know where to turn, but the fact that you came, shared the gospel with me, I remembered that.
Yeah.
And I remembered that, you know, you had some answers and you had a passion and a fire for this. And so I realized that I do need to give my heart to the Lord. Mm-hmm. And later, I mean, it was a seed and it was a slow growing seed.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you know, he purposed in his heart to do that. And that's where I'm like, you know, you know, there's people that may be, you know, upfront and bold, and it's easy for them to say that. And I've come across people that, man, they're, hey, come to my Bible study at lunch, you know, on the job, and they're just unashamed. Other people, they're very timid. They're not good at public speaking, you know, and that sort of thing, and they shy away from that, and so they're not relational in that sense where they have the gift of gab, but man, they've got a compassionate heart. Or, you know, they've got a really insightful mind.
Yeah.
And they're able to process things. And it may take some time, but, man, hey, you know, you were talking the other day, and I heard what you said about the troubles that you're going through, and I've been praying for you, but I just thought, you know, Jesus changed my life. And I believe he can change yours, too. And just in my, and most people, when they hear you're praying for them, they're like, thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, it almost softens them up and opens the door. Now, I've said I've never heard of anybody turning down prayer, but I have heard now. Pastor Deborah was telling a story about being in a certain place, and somebody was on a park bench, and she was walking her dog, and they struck up conversation, and in the midst of that, found out that they had a health challenge.
Yeah.
And she asked if she could pray for them, and they're like, no, I don't believe in that, you know, and they rejected it. So people are going to reject the message.
Yeah.
You know, people are going to turn away God or have strong feelings about God. We can't be afraid of that.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. What did Jesus say? Move on.
Yeah.
If they reject you one place, move on to the next, you know?
Well, I remember I offered to pray for someone who shared that they had a physical ailment and were going through some challenges, and same thing, they said no. And to be honest, I was with somebody, so I felt a little silly. 'Cause, you know, not that I was proud or arrogant, but I said it with, you know, again, like believing, and I felt like there was some authority.
It's a miracle that's going to happen right now.
Pray for you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, thank you. And it was like, I think I was so shocked. And then, you know, you could walk away feeling defeated or like, but then talking to the person afterwards, like that really encouraged me. One, I think it's like, 'cause you got rejected and that's okay. And two, like, but you tried.
Yeah.
And there's like, hey, and so it's, and again, people could look at a pastor, people could look at more spiritual people and think, well, I'm not that guy. I don't have any business sharing. I don't have any, you know, I know what I still struggle with. But the reality is I'm not sharing about me. I'm sharing about him.
Right.
And, you know, you don't have to be perfect. You don't have to be in this place of superiority. Not that any of us are.
Yeah.
To be able to share the simplicity of the gospel and to not be ashamed of what he's done in our lives.
Well, success, you know, we define this way, is not numbers, accomplishments, any of those things. Success is faithfulness when it comes to God, right? And that's where if we get that mind frame, I'm not successful because 20 people just got saved and I prayed with them this week. I'm successful because I shared the gospel as God wanted me to when I had the opportunity. So you know, and I think that's where when we get that mind shift, it takes a lot of that pressure off.
Right.
You know, especially when you realize you're not doing the work anyways. Right? Only by the Holy Spirit can they say Jesus is Lord, and God is drawing them. You may be one touch of many along the path.
Yeah.
And I love that where Paul says, I planted, Apollos waters, but God gave the increase, right? Mm-hmm. You may not be the one to close the deal.
Yep.
You may be the initial advertisement.
Right.
You might be the first thought. You might be that first touch, that first light that comes.
Yeah.
You may be the sower. There may be somebody else that's the waterer. They may share again, and someone else comes along, and now it's a second touch. It's a second witness, and they need time, and there's that germination process. And, you know, I'm trying to grow a seed that I got. I received an olive seed from the Garden of Gethsemane.
Oh, yeah, nice.
While we were there preaching, I had the privilege to preach that session on our tour, and our tour guide just reaches over to one of the olive trees and grabs a handful of olives and leaves and hands them to me. He just goes, here, plant them in your garden. And I was just like, I just got olives.
Did you claim it to TSA or no? You know, I'm kidding. We just got back and
let's
they asked
just
you what
say
you
it went in my checked luggage bag and there were no questions asked.
And no answers given.
And and they made it home
but continue
with me. So I'm trying to plant these seeds right now. And I'm so impatient. I'm looking for a leaf popping up out of this. I mean, it took me a while to plant it, granted. But I mean, I've got it in light. I've got it in soil. I'm watering it. I'm like, what am I doing? And it takes everything in me not to dig it up and see what's going on.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I was just like, I so want to open it up and see if there's, but I'm afraid to hinder the plant in case it does start growing. So you know, I think that's where with when we're witnessing and when we're sharing the gospel, you know, you may be scattering seed. Every farmer that scatters seed wants that seed to grow and produce fruit. Mm-hmm. I mean, that right there is a statement, isn't it?
Yep.
Every sower wants things to not only grow but to produce.
Right.
We want to see people get saved. The problem is we understand business and we understand, you know, even like industry, mm-hmm. when you've got a conveyor belt, one guy's throwing a wheel on the car.
Yeah.
The other guy's putting a door on. The other guy's throwing a windshield. You know, like they don't get to see the car drive off.
Yeah.
They get to see it come to their point and they get to do one thing there. And I think that's where, you know, we can get frustrated with, I don't see any results. I've shared with all these people and no one's gotten saved. You might be the guy throwing the seed. Mm-hmm. You may never see the fruit this side of heaven.
Yeah.
But wait till you get to heaven and there's a line waiting for you.
Yep.
You know?
Yeah.
You may be the waterer. Mm-hmm. And you're staring at dirt that has nothing. You don't even see the seed anymore, right?
Yep.
But you're watering it. What is that? You're giving the word.
Yeah.
And you're watering it. Hey, so-and-so shared the gospel with you. Now I want to tell you it's true. And you don't see nothing.
Yep.
But there may be somebody that you're that reaper.
Right.
And you get to see everyone get saved.
Right.
You know? And that's fun. That's wonderful. You know? Yeah. I love giving altar calls, like I said. And I've gotten the privilege to share, though, and, you know, Uber drives and over car engines, different things like that. Those are some of my most memorable times seeing people get saved is because I was able to be there witnessing it one-on-one.
Yeah.
You know, I still remember the first guy I ever shared and prayed the prayer with, you know? And it was a kid in youth group. Like,
oh, nice.
And like we were in small groups, like talking, and I realized this kid's not saved. And I said, can I talk to you? And we went out in the hallway.
Yeah.
And I shared the gospel with him and asked him, did he want to pray? And he said, yes. And I was just like, wow. You know?
Yeah, that's powerful.
It is powerful. Powerful moment in my life, you know? And it's just amazing to think about that. But I've had more no's than I've had yeses.
Oh, yeah.
To that question.
Absolutely.
You know, along the way, personally and individually and that sort of a thing.
Yeah.
And you know, I think about the numbers of unbelievers that come through our church, mm-hmm. how many people have sat through an altar call where I've given 2, 3, 4, 5 altar calls in one service, you know, hey, God wants more, and how many people rejected the message.
Right.
It's probably more than even have come to the altars.
Well, going back to that testimony, someone planted those seeds and watered those seeds, and maybe they didn't listen to that podcast that I heard.
No idea.
They don't know that this guy's serving God now.
Yeah.
In fact, they probably could have looked at it and thought, man, look at this guy's life. Look what they're up to.
Yeah.
And yet, in this moment of darkness, it all turned around.
Yeah.
And what is the process of seed, the germination? It ultimately has to die first before it can kind of take any germination and growth and health. And a lot, depending on the type of seed, time is in there.
Right.
And oftentimes if we stay in this results, and I don't know why we're spending so much time on this from this message, but I have to say the Holy Spirit's leading us that this way for the people listening is to not be discouraged in these moments of time and in the hang up. I can understand our connection because oftentimes we're probably witnessing or sharing with people we care about.
Yeah.
Coworkers, family members, friends that we just so genuinely want to see saved, and we can actually see them day after day after we've shared the gospel.
Sure.
You know, it's one thing, someone on the street, and hey, I don't know, maybe they're, but the people that we've witnessed to time and time again, prayed for time and time again, but even their time comes, and even they will have these moments. And so, you know, I think, Pastor, again, going back to the message, and maybe if I can get some final thoughts from you, because I don't necessarily feel like it was an overly evangelism message as much as just, it prompted evangelism within me, right?
Sure.
Of recognizing what the gospel is and that it's powerful and it needs to be shared.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, with a sermon rewind like this, especially when you talk about the things that didn't make it to the message, you know, I think that's really kind of the nuts and bolts when we think about this, and that's probably why we spent so much time on it, is because these are the things that we can't get to of, well, what happens if, you know? Yeah. And there's that prompt that I know probably there's been opportunities that people have kind of went, you know, and do I not, you know, or just flat out missed the opportunity and are beating themselves up now. You know, or maybe this week you stepped through that door and you just shared something simple and felt like a fool, and nothing happened, but you did what you were supposed to do. I think in any of those categories, realize that, you know, God just loves you and loves them so much. He's not mad at you. He's not disappointed with you. But again, the definition of success.
Right.
If you want to be successful in God's eyes, it doesn't have to be performance oriented where you've got numbers of people getting saved or numbers of people that you shared with. That's right. It just that when the opportunity arises, you walk through that door and you take the time to spread the good news, whether that's the intentionality, like we said, of the type A people that are like, I'm going to go and talk to this person on this day at this time. I know where they're going to be. And, you know, I've got my talking points ready to go, that sort of a thing. That's okay. Or you might be one of those people that just casually, Lord, open the door and bang, there it is, you know. Or like you were saying, I've been praying for this person a long time. And when the opportunity arises, I'm going to step through that door.
Yeah.
You know, whatever category you're in, just realize that success is sharing the gospel, the power of the Holy Spirit, and then leave the results up to God.
Amen.
You know, we don't save people. Jesus does.
Right. One final question.
Yeah.
We've been referencing the gospel. We reference the good news. Define in short words, what is gospel? What is the good news? How someone says, well, what is the gospel? What is it? I mean, you keep talking about that.
So I use those terms interchangeably because really gospel literally translated means good news, right?
Exactly.
And so what is the good news? Mm-hmm. Well, the good news is that Jesus came and died for our sins. He was raised again to life. And now we can be taken out of that kingdom of darkness and into the kingdom of his son. That's why it's the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom comes and it makes a change.
Right.
Right. We no longer live under the fall.
Yep.
And under the authority of the devil who took that at the fall. Yep. Right. Now that old man that was separated from God, dead in his trespasses and sins, can be made alive by simply believing the message that Jesus died in our place.
Yep.
He who knew no sin became sin so we could become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You know, we now, just by hearing that message, believing that's true, and surrendering our heart and life to him, you know, committing that, hey, you're my God, right?
Yep.
And I'm yours.
Yep.
When we have that simple surrender, you know, that's why, you know, people that say there were never any altar calls, I mean, just read the day of Pentecost. What must we do to be saved, right?
Yeah.
Repent and be baptized, every one of you. What does that mean? You're turning from your way. You're turning from your own life. You're turning from that kingdom of darkness. And you're turning and believing on the Lord for your salvation. And that baptism is immersion, right? Now, it doesn't mean that water baptism is what saves you, because we can see from Philip and that eunuch that, hey, he believes. What's stopping him from being baptized, right? Same thing with Cornelius and his household. They were filled with the Holy Spirit before they ever got water baptized. Right. It means they had to be saved because they received the gift.
Right.
So what he's really saying is being immersed, being fully committed and devoted to Christ, right? Mm-hmm. That's the first baptism. We're baptized into Christ, right? And I think that's where, if we're talking about the gospel, what is the gospel in its essence? It's the message, the good news of the kingdom of God coming and taking care of us, our sin, and our salvation.
Amen. That's good. Thank you, Pastor Dan. Hey, I pray that you were encouraged to tell somebody the good news,
good news.
Share Jesus with somebody. It's simpler than you think. And at the same time, we understand it's one that you got to muster up some courage or whatever, but be prayed up, be ready, and God will highlight who.
And then open your mouth and he'll fill it.
Amen. That's good. Thanks, Pastor Dan. Love you guys. We'll see you next time. Rock Life Podcast. Subscribe, like. Hey, if you have any questions, fill those out. We'd love to answer your questions. I know I love talking to you guys at church on the weekend. You go by Pastor Dan's door, let him know so we can keep on doing these things. But we love you guys. Talk to you soon.